listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to The Pampered Pooch. I'm your host, Christine Latham.
And I'm your co-host, Vicki Nixon.
Today we're going to be talking about weekly home exams. We're going to talk to you about why you should give your dog a weekly home exam and some ways to give them a home exam, some tips along the way. We'll be back in just a minute after a word from our sponsors.
We'll be right back. Right after these messages. Stay tuned.
It's time for school for you and your friends, your furry best friends. Train your dog the fun and easy way with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Teacher's Pet host Pia Silvani teaches you step by step how to train your dog the fun and easy way. You get 8 30-minute live audio training sessions, complete transcripts of each session, plus a basic training manual to get you and your dog off to a great start. Training begins the moment you bring your dog home. Teacher's Pet Sessions offers positive reinforcement training to shape your dog's behavior and encourages upbeat, enthusiastic responses to ensure that your dog will enjoy learning. Teacher's Pet Sessions dog training is fun at both ends of the leash. So listen, learn, and laugh with your dog with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Get your copy of Teacher's Pet Sessions Volume 1 today. To order, go to teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, this is Pia Silvani, your host. Bring your dog, tug toy, and treats, and get ready to have some fun.
teacherspetsessions.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pampered Pooch on Pet Life Radio. Okay, so basically, a weekly home exam is just taking the time to look at your dog from head to toe, from tail to head, if you want to say, and getting to know what's normal for your dog. So that way, each week, if there's something different, you can notice and basically gauge whether it's something that you should be concerned about, something that you should call your vet about, or maybe take your dog to the vet to get checked out. A few things that I recommend that you do for the home exam is, you know, starting with like the ears, perhaps. We'll start at the top of your dog. Depending on the breed of your dog, whether they're going to have ongoing ear problems or not, floppy-eared dogs tend to have more of a likelihood to have ear infections or ear mites. Basically, in my opinion, we're not vets, but from what I've been advised, that it's not normal for a dog to have, you know, debris in their ears.
Correct.
And especially if it's smelly.
Right. Usually if it's smelly or your dog is shaking their head or scratching at their ears and you lift up that ear and it's smelling, there's an infection. And it's probably been there if you're now smelling it.
Yeah. And even if it's not smelly, you know, it's probably not good to have that in there. So,
exactly.
You know, use an ear cleaner to clean the ear out. I know Vicki makes a really great ear cleaner.
Yes, it works really good as a cleaner and as a treatment. It's a great product. It's all natural. There's nothing that can hurt your dog. And basically what it does is if there is an ear infection, it works as an ear treatment because it attacks the yeast in the ear. It has a witch hazel base, so it's soothing if there's inflammation in that ear. For those of you that have to watch hair in your dog's ears and pluck the hair in the dog's ears, I do not recommend plucking that hair until the ear infection is cleared up. For those of you that may not have an ear infection, or your dog may not have an ear infection, let's say, more appropriately, it also works as a great ear cleaner. Every time I bathe my dogs, every time I pluck the hair out of their ears and I use an ear powder, I want to get that tacky powder out. I use this as a cleaner and a drying agent. If you have a floppy-eared breed, like your labs, your retrievers that love the water, you should use this in their ears to dry up any water that's in there. It's called Amazing Pet Ear Cleaner, and you can see it at www.simonandlulus.com, SimonandLulus.com.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned about the ear powder, because for, you know, the people that have to pluck the ear hair from their dog's ear, yeah, it's much better if you don't do that, you know, without using powder, because it'll make the, it's harder for the hair to come out, and it's more irritating for your dog. So highly recommend the ear powder, and like Vicky said, make sure that you clean the powder out afterwards. And I also would not recommend using a medicated ear powder unless your vet tells you to do that.
Great point, Christine.
He actually had a groomer once that did use that on my dogs and left it in. And by the time I got them, their ears were really red. A couple of them ended up getting infections from it, and it was not fun. So I definitely don't recommend that. Another thing to check on your dog would be the eyes. That's something that probably not every dog owner would think to check, but it's really important. The surface of the eye, the cornea, should be clear. In the middle of the eye, the pupil should respond to light. You can shine a light in your pet's eyes and see the pupil constrict. And the right and the left pupil should be about equal size. The pink tissue around the eye, the conjunctiva, should be normally a light pink color. In infections, it becomes a darker pink. And if it's red, then there's definitely a problem. The eyes will produce like a white or greenish discharge if there's an infection. My dogs have actually had canine pink eye, and I probably wouldn't have noticed that if I didn't do weekly home exams. So that's something I would check your dog, make sure you look at it and see what seems to be normal, so that way as you do your weekly home exams, you can see if you know it's starting to change. If there's any kind of a bluish color to the eyes, is it cloudy or, you know, anything that's a little bit abnormal, call your vet. There could be some concerns that they might need to, you know, see your dog for a visit. If you know them squinting or rubbing at their eyes, that's also a good indication of either an infection or perhaps there's some kind of scratch or tear. And also, if you notice that the eyes appear bloodshot. If you pull back the top of, you know, pull back the eyelid and you notice at the top that the blood vessels appear, you know, redder than normal, that's also a sign of canine pink eye. So those are all things to look for each week when you are examining your dog.
The next thing would be to check your dog's nose. Pretty simple, pretty basic. Check for any signs of discharge from either the right or left nostril. Clear discharge, of course, is normal, but ongoing discharge can indicate a problem, whether they have an allergy or something like that. Also, I check around the nose. That my dogs that are getting older get skin tags in the crease of the nose. So I'm very careful when brushing or bathing or taking care of them that I'm watching that little skin tag. Basic, check the nose for discharge and any little skin tags around the nose. Then we move on to the mouth. Of course, you're checking the outside of your pet's mouth first. Most importantly, you're getting inside the mouth. You're lifting your pet's lips, looking at their teeth. The gum should be a healthy, light pink, unless you have a chow. You know, their pigment's dark or their tongue's dark. Pay real close attention to where the teeth begin. Inflamed gums will be a little darker red and may even bleed when you touch them. That could be gingivitis. Also check, have you noticed any swelling of the lips or tongue? Any bleeding from the mouth? Have you noticed any excessive drooling or foaming at the mouth? A loose tooth? And also, this is real important, you're going to look inside the mouth and see if there's any foreign objects, such as a bone or stick stuck in the roof of the mouth or around the teeth. Mateo loves sticks. And sometimes I just got to run my finger along inside his mouth because they can get little slivers of wood in there.
Yeah, when I was given Princess a home exam a few weeks ago, I noticed that one of her tooths was really red in the back. But it was really strange. It didn't look like it was at the gum line. It was, like, on the tooth itself. So I took her to the vet. You know, they said she had a chipped tooth, and it was from a bone that she chews on that it's not edible. And they said that that's actually the leading cause of chipped tooths for pets is that type of bone that she was chewing on.
Wow.
So I got rid of all of them in the house because I really don't want to spend money on that. So that's something that, again, you can notice when you're giving the home exams. Okay, another thing that I would check, you know, just obviously you're going to feel over the dog's neck. And one thing I think is really important to mention is make sure that their collar is not too tight. You might think that's obvious, but there's some people that put the dog's collar on when it's a puppy, and they might not ever take the collar off, and the dog gets older, and it's, you know, too tight. Or perhaps if it's a dog like mine, their fur has gotten a lot thicker because they haven't been groomed in a while. And before, when they were groomed, the collar was looser. Mm-hmm. And now, because of the fur being longer, their collar is a little bit more tight. You know, I think they recommend that you can at least fit 2 fingers between the neck and the collar. Correct. All the way around. You also want to make sure that your collar is not so loose that the collar can go over your dog's ears and come off of your dog. For example, if you're out taking it for a walk, something scares it or whatever, it tries to get away, and then all of a sudden the collar is working itself loose and the dog, you know, escapes, you know, away from you and gets lost, and that's the last thing that you'd want. You know, something else when you're checking over your dog's throat, if you notice any lymph node swelling, they say that that's probably serious, so I would definitely call your vet about that and ask them if that's something that you need to bring your dog in for. You know, we kind of jumping back a little bit, but we talked about the dog's mouth, and one thing that you could check is your pet's blood pressure. And supposedly, if you put your index finger on the gums and basically count the time that it takes for the pink to return to the gums, it should be 3 seconds or less. And that's like measuring the capillary refill. So perhaps try that when you're checking your dog's teeth as well.
The next area we're moving on to is the chest. You're going to put your hands all over. Is your pet, and feel around, but you also want to check, is your pet experiencing any difficulty breathing? Have you noticed any panting? Any recent coughing? Is the heartbeat steady and consistent when you put your hand on there? And the more you do the home exams, the more you'll know what's normal for your dog. And also check, is there any pain when the chest area is petted or your hands are on them? That'll be a good indication if something is wrong. Finish with the chest. You're going to check the musculoskeletal, the whole body. You're going to start at the neck, run your hand along the spine to the base of the tail. You're going to feel the muscles on both sides of the spine. See if anything feels unusually firm or knotted. This is when I notice Simon had a fatty, I call it a little fatty tumor. It is called a fatty tumor, or they call it a lymphoma. I took him to the vet. It stayed the same. They aspirate it, which usually means they put a needle in there and it doesn't bother him. They draw some of the tissue out, make sure it's either a sebaceous, an oil of nature, and it's kind of watch and wait. Usually they don't grow. They're not a problem.
Louie has one of those too.
Yeah.
And again, it was from doing the home exam that I noticed that, hey, this has gotten a little bit bigger.
Right.
You know, I should take him into the vet, and thankfully it ended up being just a fatty tumor.
That's what Simon has, about the size of a pea, and it stayed that same size. And I'm just always feeling and making sure that it's okay, and I give him some herbs to try to take care of that. You know, it can decrease in size.
Well, that's good, because Louie's is probably about a nickel to a quarter in size.
Oh,
so
goodness.
He's got a big one, I guess. He's a little older, so.
Yes. So make sure you're checking for those things. Lymphomas, again, are not a big deal. The vet usually knows what they are. They take a little needle and check it. If they don't grow, they're not benign and usually don't need to be removed.
Yep, but so if you feel that lump, just definitely check with your vet to make sure that it is, like Vicky said, a
lymphoma. Yeah.
Lymphoma. Okay, while you're like feeling over your dog's back, you might notice what looks like little moles. It could be a skin tag that they call it. It should be fine. It depends on what it looks like. Again, if you're given weekly exams, it's not that you find something and automatically it's wrong. It's when something changes. So that's why it's good to, you know, to keep an eye out on what's normal for your dog. Also, when you're doing weekly home exams, look for any ticks, any fleas. As you go down towards the tail, something that I check for is if I notice any discoloration, it's probably easier in light-collared dogs like what we have, Bichons. One of my dogs, Sugar, actually gets a little bit of discoloration on the tail.
It's called, they have sebaceous oil glands down there, and those will get plugged. And so they're not like blackheads that you can pat, but it gets a darker color. And I told Christine, just put vitamin E on there, and it clears it up. It's just where it gets, there's sebaceous oil glands a lot by the tail or on the tail, and they just get, like, clogged.
Yeah, and the vitamin E oil, you know, really cheap. You can go to any kind of, you
health food store or
CVS or probably yes. Walmart or whatever. So that's something that you can look for. While you're down there at the tail area, I would recommend to just check the anal area. See if it needs to be cleaned, if there's any kind of debris. Also, that's, you know, while we're speaking about that, if you notice any signs that your dog might need to have its anal glands expressed by the vet or groomer, some of the signs could be if they're scooting on the floor, if they are basically have anal leakage, if you've noticed that,
right,
or something else that you might notice.
Or they're constantly turning around, or they're looking really quick back there, something's bothering them. They want to know what's going on. That could be a sign that the anal glands need to be expressed.
Talking about the tail, this is something that I actually learned when I first got Sugar, because I got Sugar from a pet store before I really knew, you know, a lot about that. And, you know, one thing to check is for what looks like, you know, the end of the tail either being really red, you know, just looks sore. What Sugar had was happy tail, they called it. Happy tail can either be that they're just so happy they're constantly wagging their tail and hitting it against stuff, or in her case, she was actually chewing on it because she was bored in the pet store cage and had nothing else to play with. The tail, I've been told, is very important because there isn't a lot to protect the nerves in the tail. So any sign of really like chewing or something wrong with your dog's tail, that's definitely something you're going to want to contact your vet about.
Make sure that you are checking your dog's genital areas. Especially, I know for mine, the boys, I'm looking regularly, looking for any redness or swelling. You want to make sure that that is what I call the sanitary area. The hair that grows over the penis area is groomed regularly and is clean. If you maybe don't give your dog a bath every few weeks and your dog doesn't grow a lot of hair there, still, you know, take a baby shampoo and some warm water and make sure that area stays clean, the belly stays clean. If you have a smaller dog that doesn't necessarily lift his leg all the way or leans forward, make sure that area is all clean. There's no discharge coming from there.
And I was going to say, like, the discharge. And with a female dog, basically try to examine the vulva. It can be pretty common for the skin fold to have an infection. So again, like Vicky said, make sure that the area is groomed, the hair is short. And if your dog is prone to basically, I think what they would call vaginitis, you know, contact your vet because they'll probably give you like a Panalog or something like that to put on your dog. And if it's really bad, maybe even an antibiotic. So make sure you look for that as well. And then kind of while we're talking about that, if you notice any signs of what could be a urinary tract infection, basically the signs are really frequent urination. If you notice any blood in the urine, or if you notice that while they're trying to go, it seems painful. I actually do have a dog, again, that sometimes has that problem, and she'll try to avoid going sometimes because it hurts her. So that's something else to look for, and again, contact your vet if you notice any change where you think it's something to be concerned about.
And we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned. Give your dog some thought with Dog Thoughts. It's the iPhone application that everyone's talking about.
Hey, what do you think of this? A man in Davis, California says he's invented an application for the iPhone that claims it can read your dog's mind. Huh? No, it's true. I read about it on my cat's Twitter page. That's why.
Jay Leno talked about it, CBS reported on it, and now you can see what all the buzz is about. Created just for dog lovers, Dog Thoughts makes taking photos of your furry best friend more fun. Shake your dog and read his mind. On your iPhone, of course. Take a pic of your pup, shake your phone, and watch as his thoughts appear on the screen. Does he have a bone to pick with you, or is he having a tail-wagging day? Get your Dog Thoughts iPhone app today. Just 99 cents. Go to PetLifeRadioPromotions.com. That's PetLifeRadioPromotions.com.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We're getting near the end of the doggy, or should we say the bottom, of our pampered pooches. We're going to check the limbs. You know, we're going to take them, rotate them, not too firmly. Make sure everything can rotate around. The paws can bend forward and back. I run my hands along. I always run my two fingers along like that Achilles tendon in the back. I don't know why. I'm always feeling that. And just making sure that everything is fine. Then I look at the bottom of the paw, making sure I go between the toes. I'm looking for any mats, burrs, sores, ticks, any lacerations. Make sure there's no cracking or cuts. I sometimes will run the bottom of my thumb along the pad of their foot to see. Sometimes they get real rough to see if there's a catch there. And then I look at the nails, make sure none are chipped vertically through the nail like they shouldn't be. Make sure the nail bed is not bleeding. The nail doesn't seem to be loose. You know, the dog can actually lose the nail without that cuticle coming off, and that's a very painful thing for them. So I'm always checking all of that. Nails, of course, should be trimmed, goes without saying. And so all their area, the paws, nails, everything is checked.
And if they have a, on the nails, if they have a hind...
Dew claw.
Dew claw, yeah, that's right. I don't know what I was thinking. If they have a dew claw, that's something that can grow and actually start to turn into their leg itself. So that's something to check. You know, it's a little bit more hidden.
It is hidden. You sometimes have to run your fingers along and then press to get it out to cut it.
Another thing you can do while you're at the legs in that area is you can check your dog's pulse. The easiest place to locate the pulse is basically the femoral artery in the groin area. You can place your fingers on the inside of the hind leg and slide your hand upwards until the back of your fingers touches the abdomen. Basically, kind of move your fingers back and forth on the inside of the hind leg until you feel the pulsing blood. Count the number of pulses in 15 seconds and multiply that number by 4. This will give you an idea of how many beats per minute. And if you notice from week to week that the beats is really increasing, or if it's, you know, decreasing, that's something too that you should contact your vet about.
Yes, so moving on to the stomachs of our pampered pooches. We are looking for anything that would appear to be tender to them. In the females, you want to look at the mammary glands, make sure there's nothing swollen, no unusual discharge, anything like that, just to get a feel for that stomach area so you know with your hands on your dog how they normally feel.
And have you just maybe noticed lately if they have any kind of diarrhea or vomiting? You know, that's something to look into. Does their stomach or abdomen seem swollen or distended in any manner? Also, does your dog appear to be in pain when the stomach area is petted? Because if so, that's definitely something to check into. While we're talking about this, I just wanted to briefly mention that canine bloat is a very serious problem, and it's very important to know what the signs of bloat are, because when a dog actually has bloat, there's very little time from the onset of the first symptoms before basically the dog can die from bloat. So you have to get medical attention immediately, and if it's past vet hours, you need to go to an emergency facility. Bloat is that serious. There are a lot of different symptoms for bloat, and I would definitely recommend that you go online and look it up in detail yourself. I even have a copy of the symptoms on my refrigerator, so that way if I'm ever thinking that it is a sign, I can go immediately to it and look at it, and I have to wait. I mean, bloat is very serious. You need to, to take it seriously, basically. One of the big things that they say could be a sign of bloat is when your dog is attempting to vomit, but they cannot. It could occur every 5 to 30 minutes, they say. Bloat's pretty quick, though, so it probably was going to be quicker to the, you know, closer to the less amount of time. They basically call that the hallmark symptom. An unsuccessful vomiting either means nothing comes up, or maybe even it's just a little bit of foam or mucus. I'm not saying that every time that your dog tries to throw up and can't, or throws up some foam or mucus, means that they have bloat. But that, with along the lines of some other symptoms, could be a symptom of bloat. If your dog is not acting like its usual self, that's probably one of the early signs. Sometimes they want to go outside in the middle of the night when normally they would never ask to do that. Combining that with the frequent attempts to vomit, that's, you know, a very possibility that that's something to, you know, contribute to the bloat. Any other kinds of significant anxiety or restlessness? Perhaps they're looking hunched up, or kind of like a roared up appearance. Is there a lack of normal gurgling and digestive sounds in the tummy? Contrary to what it sounds like, bloat does not mean that they have a bloated stomach. Instead, it's going to feel very tight like a drum. It's not always apparent, though, but that is one of the signs that you could look for. Another sign is if they have very pale or off-color gums. And in the early stages, it could be red, but later in the stage of bloat, it's white or blue. Maybe there's a little bit of coughing, heavy saliva or drooling. Perhaps they're unproductive attempts to defecate, some whining, pacing, licking the air, looking for a place to hide. Maybe if they're looking at their stomach or their sides, like, you know, what's going on? I'm in some kind of pain I don't understand. Maybe they don't want to lay down or even sit down. They could stand kind of spread-legged. That's probably going to go back to trying to throw up. Or perhaps they're curling up into a ball or like a crouch position, and that's not normal for them. They could even try to eat small stones and twigs. They're basically just trying to do anything to get themselves to feel better. Occasionally, excessive water drinking. Again, that alone would not be a sign of bloat, but you're looking at the whole picture here. Any one of these on their own would not be an indication of bloat, but when you combine these together, it's something to consider. Perhaps they got shallow breathing, maybe a rapid panting. Maybe their mouth membranes are really cold, or maybe they look very weak, especially in the advanced stages. they could have an accelerated heartbeat, but yet a weak pulse. And then, I mean, these are just all different signs. And basically, some of the contributors would be like stress, their eating habits, maybe they're eating way too rapidly. Which, speaking of which, I wanted to talk to you about some products that are out there to help reduce the likelihood of bloat. One of the products is called BrakeFast, B-R-A-K-E hyphen F-A-S-T. This is a dog bowl that is made with basically like three pegs in the bowl that makes the dog have to eat around the pegs to slow down their eating. There's also something that I tried very recently. It's called the Portion Pacer. And the reason I like the Portion Pacer, it's a ball, and it's, I don't know if it's exactly ceramic or not, but that's what it appears like to me. But you can use that ball in any bowl you have. So instead of me having to buy, you know, quite a few different, since I have more than one dog, instead of having to buy, like, a lot of different specialty bowls, I can use the same bowls that we have, but put the ball in it, you know, wash it, and again, use it later in the day. I would, if you have a dog that eats way too quickly, I would recommend some type of product that will help them eat slower. That's, and it doesn't have to be a big dog to have bloat. Little dogs can have bloat, too. Another thing they try to say to avoid is not to exercise, you know, too soon before you eat or too after you eat. Kind of like the old swimming rule.
Yes.
If you have a, you know, actually I met someone that as soon as they feed their dogs, they put them down for a 15-minute nap, as you would say, because that breed was so likely to get bloat that they would, you know, be very cautious and try to do that. Again, I would just recommend going online and learning a little bit more. Obviously, we can't tell you everything there is to know about bloat, but I did want to, you know, spend some time discussing that.
And as far as skin and hair, what you're looking for, is there excessive shedding? Are there any bald spots or spots where there is hair missing? Make sure you know what's going on there. It's not a, you know, an allergy or a reaction or a loss of hair to due to something.
Hot spots. That's something that people could have. If you're not sure what a hot spot is, it could be just basically an area from an allergy or something. And
the dogs will just keep licking it till it's raw and they won't leave it alone. There's some great products you can use on that. There's Pet Solution RX, which we offer at Simon and Lulu's. It's just water with the positive ions electrolyzed in it. That's www.simonandlulus.com. That's wonderful stuff. But make sure you know what that hot spot looks like. It's not bleeding. It's not getting larger. Things like that.
One time, Sugar had one so bad that we had to shave down, like, the whole area. And, you know, actually, she had to take some antibiotics and put some topical antibiotics, too. So it could be, you know, an extreme of, you know, that extreme. Or it can be, you know, nothing there. Just kind of keeping an eye on it.
Right. Keep the hair away. If that hair is on there and gets in there, it'll hold the bacteria. It'll, like, it holds it in there. So make sure that area is clean and free of hair. Also, the last things for bone and joints, have you noticed any limping? Are any legs or joints swollen? Has your dog been excessively licking at one or more area of his or her legs or showing any signs of pain when walking? And then overall, in a home check, home exam for your dog, have there been any recent changes in diet or eating habits? That's a big one because that usually tells all. How much water does your dog typically drink per day? You know, each one of your dogs or every dog is different. How much does your dog typically drink per day? Have you noticed any coughing or sneezing? What about any lumps or bumps? Is your dog urinating and defecating, having normal bowel movements? Is that normal for them? Some dogs go a lot. Some dogs hardly go at all. So make sure you know what's normal for your dog so you can keep track of it.
You know, and it basically just today's topic is, again, we're just wanting to stress that you want to do a weekly home exam because too often a pet's illness goes undetected until it's at a critical point, and then you have to rush them with, you know, expensive vet bills and treatments. And if you take the time to perform a weekly home examination of your pet and learn what to look for, you will be able to detect potential problems early enough to take care of them before they get to a critical point. And if you are pampering your pet, you're going to want to do that.
Definitely.
So that's all the time we have for today. We appreciate you listening. Thank you.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.